Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is October. Doesn't feel like it in some parts of the country today, but it is October, a great time of year to get out, enjoy beautiful weather, enjoy the changing leaves in so many parts of the country, and enjoy God's beautiful creation. How can that be good for you? How can it be healthy for you? How could that benefit you and your family? Well, we're going to talk about that with one of our friends from Lutheran Valley Retreat in Woodland Park, Colorado. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them at KFUO.org. Find the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone this morning, Steve Johnson, Executive Director of Lutheran Valley Retreat in Woodland Park, Colorado. Steve, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. It's good to be a part of the program today. So,
well, Steve, your time. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Where are you this morning? Are you out and about around camp or around town today?
Well, I am in town. My wife and I, we have a house here in Woodland Park, Colorado, and just kind of enjoying a leisurely morning this morning, so it's kind of nice.
Well, thanks for spending some of your leisurely morning with us here on Faith and Family. Tell us a little bit about Lutheran Valley Retreat in Woodland Park, Colorado, the history and what it's up to, what you're up to today at LVR.
Well, right now, you know, our history is we've been around, established by a group of Lutheran families from Colorado Springs, Colorado in 1959. The camp got its first start in the mid-60s with 3 weeks volunteer run. They bought the property for the entire Lutheran Valley property is 900 acres, and then they sectioned off 237 for Lutheran Valley Retreat, and been running camps since about 1965 or so, and then 1980s we started to do year round ministry with various directors throughout the years, and now full on year round retreat. Summer camp for kids, families, adults. We do men's, women's retreats, high school, middle school, anything you possibly think of, we try to make happen. So,
and I bet part of that time involves getting out, doing some hiking, just exploring and experiencing God's beautiful creation in that part of Colorado.
Absolutely, absolutely. We do, that's actually outdoors is what we do. We don't really, even in the winter, we do have a couple facilities where we can run some indoor activities, but mostly we're outside all year round. It's a beautiful place, enjoying what God has for us.
Now, you're not a Colorado native, though, are you?
Correct. I actually come from Columbus, Indiana, but been out in Colorado since graduating college in 2000, and worked at Lutheran Valley for the last 13 years.
Well, thanks be to God that you are there. What do you love about your work at LVR?
Every day is different. You know, some days, it's in the office. We're working, you know, like right now we're planning on our 2017 schedule, working, just getting everything organized. But tomorrow, you know what, I'll be out at camp working with our new program director and getting things set up for the next couple of weekend retreats we have. And then, you know, Thursday, it's great. Every day is a little bit different. So it's perfect for my personality style.
Now, what access do you have to trails and hiking there in the area around Lutheran Valley Retreat?
We actually have a couple of different trails. We've built a lot of our own trails on our property, just some beautiful views. The Grinder Loop is built by a group in Michigan, what we call it. We have the Cedar Mountain Trail. It's only a mile long, but it takes any group roughly between 2 and 3 hours just because of the elevation gain, the rock scrambling, things like that. Cedar Mountain overlooks the entire valley. It's just a beautiful hike. And then we have about a mile and a half one-way hike down to this old stone cabin just off the property in the National Forest that actually is an old, just a cabin a guy built back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He tried to just find gold in the entire area, and that cabin's still standing. So it's down tucked away in a valley. It's really beautiful.
Did you grow up, Steve, did you grow up hiking? Did you do a lot outdoors when you were a kid?
I did, actually. My parents lived right across the street from woods. And if I had free time and the weather was nice, you know, even if the weather wasn't nice, we'd fall through the creek and the ice, you know, my brothers and I. We were out in the woods a lot, you know, making jumps with our bikes, finding where else new areas to go. We just spent a lot of time out there. So
you love being outdoors. What is it that you love about being outdoors?
Well, you know, it's kind of feel like it's changed over the years. I think the biggest thing has been with the increase of just the busyness of camp and with the less time with the family, I found that just being outdoors and being with the in creation it helps my mind to see a bigger world and say, okay, my problems aren't that big. There's more things going on out there, and there's more people to reach for Christ. It helps me refocus, I would say, and look at the bigger picture rather than, focusing on those little things that bother me day to day.
When you're outside, when you're on a trail, when you're out just enjoying the creation in which God has placed us to live and to serve, mm-hmm. where does that take your mind? You said it takes you away from the little things that seem to bother you day to day.
Yeah, that's right. What I see is I just see that bigger world that God has given us. And it takes my mind just to see how big He is, first of all. and yet He still loves me, and yet He still sent His Son to die for me and rise for me so that we can live and we can love others around us. And those little changes of perspective help my focus in the day. It's like, okay, this is why I do what I do, is to lead children, youth, families, adults to the feet of Jesus, so they can know the Lord and Savior, and helps me keep that perspective. And it also helps me as a father say, oh, I need to get my kids out here and see this too, because this is amazing things out here. You know what? In Indiana, we didn't have big mountains, but we had forests. There's nothing like the sunset over my grandparents' farm. There's nothing like the sunrise on top of the little hill we used to go to. It's just, you don't have to have mountains to get outside and enjoy the creation of God.
What are some of the benefits that we can receive from getting out and hiking specifically? Hitting a trail, obviously it's exercise, but are there benefits to physical benefits, mental benefits to hiking?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that, like I said, the perspective change, the perspective of, okay, just breathe, slow down a little bit, even though you're hiking, and also, I don't know if a lot of folks are like me, but some days I can't figure out what I did at the end of the day. There are some days like that. I'm going, wow, what did I just do? But then when I go hiking, it's just nice to have that goal, reaching a goal, accomplishing a task, which is get to the end of the hike and go, wow, oh, we did it. And it was good and healthy and just mind-wise, spiritually, emotionally, it helps balance those emotions. I think the more I spend on the computer, the more I see myself getting upset at things. But as soon as I step outside, get on the trail, my brain is, it kind of clears up a little bit. And then I get to spend that time, unfiltered time with God on the trail, praying most of the time. As I'm hiking, it's pretty awesome.
What are some of your favorite trails?
Some of my favorite trails, I just took the boys up. We made an attempt at hiking Pikes Peak last week. We homeschool, so we're able to take those times off during the week to go hiking, and we didn't make it all the way. The wind was heavy. It's kind of ironic, the Christian family hiking the Devil's Playground, the place up there, but we didn't make our goal, but it was just a beautiful, hiking any of the 14,000 foot peaks around here, beautiful. Again, you don't have to have those to enjoy hiking. As me and my three older boys, getting out, we get a chance to talk on the trail. I have nothing else to do but make our goal and talk to the folks I'm hiking with. And if the folks who I'm hiking with, my children, how awesome is that? Quality time. It's amazing. The hike at Pikes Peak, of course, Cedar Mountain, there's a lot of trails around here. So
when did your kids start hiking?
We have been hiking since they were been able to walk. In fact, before they were able to walk, we usually throw them in something. my son Joe, his first time at Pikes Peak, he doesn't remember it. He was 1.5, and he's 9 now. So we just spend time outside. It's healthy for them as well. They love it.
So even using a backpack or something to bring them along, so they can enjoy the peacefulness, the quiet of being outdoors.
Exactly, and getting a little dirty. Yeah, so they've been in back. We did those little cozy things, you know, where kind of, I don't know what they're, I think that's what they're called. But again, for us as parents, they're going to love hiking because we love hiking. But the thing that they love more than anything else is time with us as parents. So they're going to love doing whatever we enjoy doing. But the opportunity to bring them along. And so how beautiful is bringing our children along on hiking, and helping them enjoy, appreciate God's creation. But also realize it's the majority of it is just time with parents. I mean, that's huge, unfiltered. You know what? I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not worried about the email I'm getting. Just time focused on creation and hiking with them. It's amazing.
I would imagine some of your hikes, it doesn't matter if you bring the phone along or not. There's probably no connection.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. So yes, I use it for photos, but no one can get a hold of me out here. You know, that's not the way it is across the nation. I know that, but you can always put on airplane mode for your hiking. You know, turn it off. No one needs to get a hold of you. And most emergencies can wait. But that's hard. That's a hard perspective to understand. So,
what about from the kids? Do you ever get any pushback? Oh, we'd rather watch a movie. We'd rather stay home and play a game, or we don't want to. Dad, why are you making us hike so far? Oh, this is so long.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what. Just Tuesday. It was. It's just that constant encouragement that you can do it. But you know, there's some incredible teaching opportunities there as parents of, okay, so let's not look at the end goal. What is this little goal that we can do? Let's just get to here first and let's sit. Well, this, up there, you know, whether it be a mile down the trail if you can see it, or even 100 yards down the trail, hey, let's just get to there, and that'll be our next rest spot. Let's see if we can make it there. And eventually you make the goal of getting to the top. When we hiked on Tuesday, we didn't make it, mostly because when we got up there, the wind was high and it was 25 degrees outside. We were prepared for it, but we knew that the hike back would be pretty rough. So we ended up turning around up to Pikes Peak, but it was just, little goals. There is pushback, but just that constant encouragement. And the kids, the way they know you're there for them, and you got to know your own kids, how far you can push them versus what is going to be their absolute breaking point, because you don't want to reach that on a trail where they just sit down and say, I'm not going any further. So.
You've mentioned setting goals a couple of times. How do your children learn from that goal setting? What have they gained from setting those goals when you go out to hike? And for example, the last hike that you were on, you said you didn't reach that goal.
Right.
What do they learn from those, from that goal setting, and whether you meet it or whether you don't?
You know what they learn? I believe what they learn. Of course, I can't get one of them in here to interview because they wouldn't know what they're talking about. They wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, Dad, you're crazy. What I see, though, is that ability to, working with their own friends is they've been able to do the same thing with their own friends. When they've come to camp in the summer, they're able to do that with their cabin group and stay encouraging and stay positive. Even though they're grumpy on the trip with me, I've seen that turnaround when they're with other folks doing the same thing, be encouraging, setting goals. Let's just get to here. And as they get older, we work that into leadership. What does that look like being a leader? My goal is to train my children to be leaders. And, so it's like, okay, so what does that look like? When you're in school, boy, this end task looks huge. All right, so what's my first goal? First thing, let's break it down to smaller tasks and get those done. And so the big task doesn't look daunting. When we turned around, my middle son Mason, he was so disappointed. He goes, Dad, I know we can make it. And I go, I know, but the important thing we got to think about is there will be another day to conquer this mountain. But we have the hike back, and we're already tired, and we're not quite half. We're just over halfway, and so we have to think of the whole hike. You know, not just the end goal is the top, but really the end goal is to get back to the car. You can't get back to the car. That's a miserable day, you know. And so it was hard for him to see. I can't believe we're turning around when we're so close. Now, close is still 2.5 miles away, and I thought, well, yeah, it'd be great to make it. I know we can. But man, that means we have an it's a 7 mile one way hike, you know, and it's so yeah, the turning around, we still have 7 miles to go, even though it's downhill. It's against the wind, 25 degrees on the way down. So it's just one of those talking through, how do we care for each other? What's the best way to make sure we all succeed? Sometimes means we gotta turn around and start over a different day. So I think he learned something, and he said he did. He was like, "Yeah, I get it now." When we got home after he was mad for a while, but he did all right.
Ever taken the kids on an overnight hike, a camping trip on the trail?
We have. We actually did a few years ago. Joe was five, so it's four. Well, I think he was four. We threw we did a 2-night backpack trip down at the Platte River, which is about 5 miles away from camp. You can drive to the river, and we just hiked in about a mile and a half, 2 miles, set up camp, and then we just spent 2 days out in the forest. Mom got to go on that one too, so that was pretty special.
So the family got to get out and experience an overnight camping trip.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When is a good time to hike? What are some of the best times to hike? I'm sure it depends on where you are in the country, but
right.
What are some of the best times to hike?
Some of the best times, out here in Colorado, the best times are really in that late June, July, especially at our elevation. The weather's pretty mild in the day. Mild means it doesn't really get above 90 degrees. The nights still cool off. If you go earlier than that, the nights can still be down in the low 40s, high 30s. So even in June, it could be that cool outside, which isn't terrible. But with kids, it makes it tough. This time of year is pretty, today is going to be 75, 80 degrees, which is kind of weird for our area. So it's really a hit or miss this time of year. But we did hiking back in the day at Camp Lakeview in Indiana. It's where I got my start in camp ministry on summer staff there. Hiking, we would hike a little bit and then just it'd be too hot. Let's get in the water. So this time of year in the Midwest is just, I think, one of the most beautiful. The leaves changing color. It's perfect to get out. Let your kids hike slow and kick those leaves and make little piles and run through them on the trail. You don't have to get anywhere. Just enjoy the outdoors.
Absolutely. This is a great time of year to enjoy the changing leaves here in the Midwest. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's not quite cool enough yet.
Yeah. It's still hot. I heard the weather report on 85 degrees. Oh, I think I just died a little inside. So, but it's still important to get outside.
So. Sorry to believe it's October.
Yeah. That's true.
What are some things to consider, important things to consider if you're new to hiking, as you're preparing for your first, day hike, just a mile or so or 2 miles?
Well, we always, what I always go through the boys before we go on a bigger hike is we go through what we call the 10 essentials. With a bigger hike like the Pikes Peak, I made sure we had those 10 essentials because there's a chance on a big hike like that where we can get stranded on a mountain and we need to be prepared for that. Whether it be weather coming in or just, like I said, you get to the point where one of the kids reaches the end and can't go anymore. What are we going to do? And most of the time, we don't go on hikes that big, just thinking through things like what clothes we need. If rain comes, are we ready? Do we all have our ponchos with us? If you as a family do Bible studies on the trail, do you have a little backpack Bible? It's kind of nice to be able to do that. If you get a chance to, great. If not, we can still speak about God. We can still talk about him on the trails. The biggest thing is hydration, water, making sure you got enough for the kids. For an hour long, 2 hour long hike, I would say if you bring about 32 ounces per person, that should be fine. But if you're going for a day, half a day, at least 64 ounces, or if you're going for a whole day, 3/4 of a gallon or a gallon of water at least. And thinking through like, what if we get stuck? How can we get more water? That type of thing. And then we always have, I always make sure we bring a knife. And I'm like, that seems weird. I know if you're in the middle of the city, you probably don't want to bring a knife. But out here, my kids ask me, Dad, why did you have me pack a knife? I go, well, Here's the benefits of having a knife along. We can do, cut some things. We can do a lot of things with a knife if we get stranded. Emergency shelter, Clothing's the big things, the right socks, right shoes, sunscreen, those type of things. We call it, you know, and then the other thing is making sure mom knows where we are, you know, if we go on a hike without her, or someone else knows where we are and what time we expect you back, so that if something does happen, like if we're not back on time, they either call us or call someone who can help us. So those
are some tips. Any other gear to help us prepare? You mentioned a knife and water and things like that.
Yeah.
What about your footwear? What about shoes or boots?
Oh, shoes. You know, I'm not the hardcore wear hiking boots wherever I go. I wear shoes that are comfortable. And right now it's, you know, basically a pair of trail runners is what I wear for hiking. And my boys wear, they basically have a good set of tennis shoes. Boots, though, you know, new boots are a little tougher on the ankles. I mean, they usually, you know, so you want definitely worn-in shoes, shoes you're comfortable with. Nothing, you don't want to go to, like, REI or an outdoor store and buy a pair of boots and then go hit a four-mile trail. You're going to end up with some blisters, you know. Make sure they're broken in, worn for a little bit first. You know, in the backpacks we always bring, we make sure that they have not only shoulder straps, but also waist straps and a chest strap. What those straps do is they take the pressure off your shoulders for the longer days. One of the things with kids' backpacks, they don't have a lot of times a waist strap. And if that's the case, what I've done with my kids is I've had taken a bigger pack. And so the only thing that my kids end up carrying, especially at the younger ages, was just their water for the day. And I usually take everything else, like their extra clothes and lunch and things like that too.
So a good backpack that you can tie down in a couple of places, that you can, you know, strap down in a couple of places, so that it's just
exactly.
Takes that pressure off your shoulders. Good to know.
Exactly. It's comfortable. So, yeah. Yeah, and over the time, they've gotten, you know, at first they're like, Dad, I don't need this waist strap. And then about halfway through the day when they go, my shoulders are tired, I said, well, let's try that waist strap. And then they'll put it on and go, oh, hey, this is nice. I know. You're welcome. I am Superman, but don't tell anybody, you know. So, yeah.
Have you ever had any emergencies or anything on the trail that made you, you know, think, okay, am I prepared for this?
You know what? Personally, I have mostly hiking, getting above the tree line. We've had I've been on top of a 14,000 foot peak, Mount Bross, and when a hailstorm came in, and making that choice at the moment, do you hunker down? There's not a lot of shelter on top of these. Sometimes there's some things built, or do you keep going? And that one, you know, we actually made the choice to hunker down until it lightened up. But you know, a lot of those scenarios are taken care of in the prep work, making sure we all had the right clothes. We had enough water. We had enough food, that we could sit there for a long time and still get out. I think the big thing that we also had, that you may not have a problem in different areas, but just making sure you have a headlamp or something that in case you get caught at night. And that's, you know, those are just little things like that. But in the prep work, we weren't too worried about it. We got a little worried when the lightning started, and that's actually when we took off. You know, we got out of there pretty quick, and that was a number of years ago.
Sure. When hiking in the mountains, high altitudes, there are certainly some risks that you don't have at those lower altitudes. Certainly with the fact that weather can change so quickly in those higher altitudes and in the mountains, that's important to consider as you're preparing to go out on the trail. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Steve, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
How can we find out more about what's going on at Lutheran Valley Retreat?
Yeah, actually, check out LVR.org. We're also on the Facebook. Just look up Lutheran Valley Retreat. We share a lot of information now through social media. Check it out, what's going on. We got a pretty extensive CERN event program going on for high school ministries. So, check out that. And there's links to that on our website. We have lots of things going on, climbing camps, mountain bike camps. We're just prepping for an amazing year in 2017. Our theme is Step Out, based off of Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So we want to lead kids in those steps of faith, bring them into the cross of Christ, understanding who he is. And we are focused on using his creation to uplift Jesus' name.
Steve Johnson, Executive Director, Lutheran Valley Retreat, Woodland Park, Colorado. Steve, thanks for being my guest today on Faith and Family. Thanks for the tips on getting out and enjoying God's beautiful creation on the trails.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to take a look at life as a seminary wife. How does one thrive as a seminary wife? What are the challenges one faces when your husband is studying at seminary and your whole life changes? You move to the campus and everything changes. What are some of the challenges you face, and how do you thrive in that as well? You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.